Welcome to the good life.
Welcome to another episode, episode 18, man, or 17, I don't know, I always forget the episodes, I just make them, you know, whatever, but man, today is a special day, Memorial Day, and we got a special guest as well. He's been my friend since high school. We had a little group together back then, but no, his name's Kenny. Say what's up to the people, Kenny. Say one more time. My bad. The audio is kind of bad.
What's good? What's good and new? How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. By the way, his name's Kenny Minogue. Didn't say his last name, but you know, I'm still working on this. You know what I mean? But anyway, how you been, man?
Doing good. You know, just figuring out ways to not lose my sanity. That's a key aspect in quarantine zone. Taking online classes, just doing things to expand my resume, expand my mind.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, just surviving.
I feel you. So what, you're with you're in UConn right now, right? Connecticut?
No, so I'm in Connecticut now. I graduated a couple years back. I was working mostly in sports production, like broadcast work. I had a couple of freelance jobs, a couple contracts, with some colleges in the Worcester, in the Massachusetts area mainly. But after once Corona hit, everything just completely shut down, especially right. For sports. So last right. couple months I moved back in with my parents and just waiting. Luckily for me, I got accepted into ASU's sports journalism program for master's, going to the Cronkite school, Walter Cronkite School of Journalism in fall. So this seems about the right time to go for master's, considering even if I wanted to get back into work, it's looking unlikely that we're going to be any companies, many people going to be hiring that much this upcoming. So definitely trying to look for expanding myself in my future.
Oh, cool. So you're going to sports broadcasting, and that's pretty cool. You always had a passion for it?
Yeah, it's just trying to follow your passion. I mean, that's the thing that essentially learning, and especially when you're going for master's, is you got to go into something that you know that you're going to put 110% effort in, because so much of the work in master's is outside of class and up on you to take control of your career and where you want to go forward.
Right, right. So you just trying to be like an anchor or in sports broadcasting, or like one of the, you got to start somewhere anyway, I feel like, right?
I've done some work in college and even outside of college in terms of in front of camera, behind the camera, on a computer, reporting. I've dabbled in other aspects of it, and I think that's really what I want to do more with at Walter Cronkite. The school that the program that they have there is very much a co-op program, essentially, where you do your classes in the morning, and then the afternoon you work for the school's network. The Cronkite News. They have a daily show that runs on Arizona PBS, Arizona Public Broadcasting System and Network. And really, it's up to you what you want to do for the network. If you want to produce shows, you can produce. If you want to work among the crew, you can work amongst the crew. If you want to work in front of the camera or just behind the computer, you can do that too. So it's really up to you what you want to do. And if you want to just dabble in a lot of it and just become multifaceted, which is sort of what I want to do, be able to do anything that I can, anything I want to do in the future or that an employer would want me to do.
Nice, nice. By the way, guys, this man has so much sports knowledge. I remember in high school, we always used to talk about different things, especially LeBron and Kevin Durant. KD, baby, you know, he's still my favorite player, like always. Kenny knows.
It's that's still riding on that snake stick.
Man, great player. But anyway, yeah, I feel you. I was mad at that decision, too. It was bad times, bad times.
So where's your Brooklyn Nets jersey, huh? Huh? Where's your flat earth? Where's your flat earth?
I have a Brooklyn Net crew neck. But
oh my good! Of course you have a crew neck. God damn it!
You know I'm a crew neck guy. But yeah. So what do you like? How's you should make a podcast, by the way, with your sports knowledge and everything.
I mean, I had a partner back at Emerson that I was working with. Did a basketball podcast a little bit. Right now, it feels difficult to do a really strong sports podcast because most of the time,
you can just like start one up, just to see, you know, just talk about whatever, and then I mean, it's really easy to make one. Like you go on a website, make a third party. Like I use this website called Anchor. It's pretty cool.
Most definitely, yeah. No, I think that's something that I do want to get back into once I start school again, and like we start getting some things that we can actually cover. Because a lot of the things that I find difficult is like, what do we cover now? A lot of things that we're doing are like going blasting back into the past. Like you look at ESPN, how much they've profited off of The Last Dance. They moved it up 2 months, and it's now the top documentary.
Right. I mean, ESPN's just showing like these classic games every time too. Like this 98 All-Star game with like Kobe and everyone. Oh yeah, RIP Kobe, man. Shit. Oh yeah, I have one question to ask you. Where were you when that news happened?
I know where I was because I think we had just come back from it was a Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was a Sunday. Yeah.
We had came back from church, then got dressed up. I was back home here in Connecticut actually. Visiting my parents, and came back, got changed, normal house clothes, about to sit down, watch some TV. All of a sudden, I look at my phone, and my fantasy league. That you remember that fantasy league that I invited you onto, the simulation league.
Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, that Slack.
I lasted on that for like 2 weeks, and I was like, no, I'm good.
No worries, but what's it called? I remember I started seeing a bunch of posts. People like Kobe's dead. And I'm like, wait, what? No, bullshit. This is bullshit. And then I look on my phone, and it's like 8 minutes ago, TMZ's posting this up, and I'm like, this is unreal. I grab the remote out of my dad's hand, put on CNN, and within 20 minutes, CNN switches their like main broadcast from bitching about Trump to immediately switching over to bitching to like, what the hell? Kobe just passed away.
Yeah.
And it just was like bonkers.
Shit. But, I was actually, coincidentally, I was actually at the gym playing basketball when this happened. We were playing like a 5-on-5 game. And someone on the sidelines was like, Kobe died. And everyone just like stopped. And they were like, bro, what the hell? What are you saying? And then he was like, let's check on Twitter. He's like, Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted Kobe died. I'm like, what? So everyone just stopped in our middle of the game. We just all stopped, and we were just listening to the news. I was like, dang, what the hell? And everything just froze, and I couldn't play anymore. I just left, and I was just shocked. I was just trying to, like, you know, absorb the information that I just heard. I was like, wow.
There are celeb deaths that I have, like, gotten emotionally sad for. This one, I couldn't even process it. I was just like, what the hell just happened?
Right. Because like we saw Kobe grow, like, since he came to the league at 17. He was just, like, another person we heard on TV, like, every day. Like, you know. So it's just crazy how he's just, like, a major public figure, right? Like, even my parents who don't even watch any basketball or anything like that were, like, shocked that he died and stuff. So it's just...
It's crazy. Yeah, no, I called my mom, my sister. We all ran downstairs, just watched the TV for like half an hour, just like processing it. Because like we, like growing up, mid-2000s, my whole family would watch basketball a lot, and we heavily remember the 2004 finals between Pistons, Detroit, and Los Angeles. So like that was a lot. I mean, it was very much a family moment to watch basketball together, and so to watch it, to see, hear about him passing away was really heart-wrenching in that moment and just shocking. It took me a while to get like really back into feeling normal about watching basketball, because anytime then I'd put on a basketball game, I just feel weird. I just feel like funky. just wasn't normal. And I remember going to like the next day at work, I went. So one of my contracts is with Harvard Broadcast Group. And so I remember the first day I went into work there, everyone was talking about it. Everyone was talking about it. And these guys being Harvard, they're all Boston Celtics fans.
Yeah.
They were all just still like distraught about it. Cause these guys are like living, breathing sports, living, breathing basketball. And the whole world was distraught.
And it's also weird. Cause it's like, when you see all these great basketball players and everything, they're like always old. Like they always live long, I feel like. And it's just crazy that Kobe lived until it was just 40 and he just disappeared. Like, it's just shocking. Like, you never see NBA athletes like just die so young, you know?
Yeah, well, at least not anymore. I mean, back, I guess you could say, argue like the players, some of the old school players that would that passed away from like drug overdoses, like bias and all. You're thinking about those things, but like now, definitely is what you're saying. Because like you think about it, we still have Kareem, we still have Jerry West, we still have Michael Jordan, we still have so many stars. We still have that. In other sports, it feels like that there are players that have the Hall of Famers, the greats that have passed away. In basketball, it doesn't really feel quite like so. I guess you could argue the only really major one for. The best one you can point to would be Wilt Chamberlain. As really the only major.
How did he die? He had health problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, he passed away like in mid-2000s, early 2000s. So it wasn't even like he died young necessarily. He was old, but.
Yeah.
Damn. When Kobe passed away at like 41, 42, just like 42, and he's like, everything was going for him in the future. Yeah, everything was. He had the movies. He had the writing. He had the television show with the kids. He had the children's books. He had was also working in Wall Street. He had his own portfolio and everything. Man, he was just he had it all.
That's what they do. They take God takes away the person that has it all. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I feel you. It's like, I don't know. He accomplished so much, though, in a short amount of time. But wait 1 minute. I bet I'd help my dad out with something.
No worries.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's crazy. He had it all. But what was I just saying?
Just about like how much Kobe was able to accomplish in his in those years, post-retirement years. That's just ridiculous. Like he won an Oscar, man. He won an Oscar.
Oh, yeah, he won an Oscar too. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just sad that like though he was with his daughter though. That's even more heartbreaking. Like. All the other victims and his daughter was only 13, like, and some of her teammates were on the helicopter too. I was like, damn.
Taken way too young.
Yeah. But, in happier news, I guess, what do you think about The Last Dance so far? I know you said you didn't watch the latest episode, but
yeah.
What do you think about it so far?
So, I've liked it. I think that it's quality work. I think that it's I know that's been some backlash regarding how much influence Michael has had on some of the narratives and some of the like implications of it. Like the implication that the pizza was obviously poisoned by the Utah Jazz, or that Horace Grant was the one who leaked out the news in the Jordan Rules book. And there's a lot of the things about like the heavy criticism of Pippen's actions when he was going through some of the when he was attempting to get his contract renegotiated. I understand all of that, but I do appreciate what this documentary gives. I think what it does is it teaches the youngins, including myself, what Michael what it was like to experience Michael Jordan, because I don't think that's really what something that many of my our generation really understands quite so well, is the that clutch gene. That he was the definition of the clutch gene. The clutch gene, the clutch gene was him. That's all he. That's everything what he was about. And I think that that's something that I really do appreciate, that this documentary is going over, are all those moments when he was able to succeed in the closing dying moments. Obviously, it's a documentary that he himself is like, what, executive MJ producer
propaganda.
Or
MJ propaganda. No, just
kidding. Yeah, of course it's going to be MJ propaganda. Of course. What did you expect? Expected yeah. not to be MJ propaganda? Like, come on, when LeBron James gets his in 20 years, yeah. there's going to be endless amount of propaganda about That's LeBron true. Because there's going to be, like, I don't know, Steph Curry's grandson's going to be lighting up the league with half-court shots. Like, I don't know what, yeah. what's going to be happening in 20, 30 years, but that's only going to happen. But I do think that it is necessary in some ways, because so many things that we read about Michael Jordan, and in hindsight, there's so many haters and so many things that keep being said. The way I look, because of the constant talk is, who is the GOAT? Who is the GOAT? Who is the greatest of all time? Who's the best of all time? What is the difference? What is your sheep, or what is your criteria for making the best of all time, greatest of all time? It's all just hogwash, man.
That's a perfect segue. So who do you think is the GOAT?
Oh, Alex Caruso, man. He's bald and he's white and he's still playing the league. Holy shit.
Man, I know your answer. It's MJ since high school. I know that. You hate LeBron. We know that.
Hey, man, I respect him, but I can't forgive him for what he did to my childhood. Okay, I still have very dark dreams about the 2007 conference finals, man. I don't need to remember those days.
Hey, by the way, shout out Bisher Cashlan, LeBron lover, who always argued with Kenny back in the day. But I feel like people forget about other players too in this GOAT discussion. Like, people always say LeBron, MJ, but how about Kareem? How about Magic? Like, even like Larry, probably not Larry, but you know, other players, like even Bill Russell.
Hey, argument can be made. I mean,
KD.
I don't think quite. Okay. Now you're pushing it. Now you're going to be saying Paul Pierce is the GOAT, which is exactly what your boy, you see Game of Zones? You watch Game of Zones?
I actually never saw that. Well, what is that anyway? It's just about, it's a cartoon thing, right?
Yeah, it's from the guys from Bleacher Report. It's mainly an NBA drama thing, and then anything they can find that connects to Game of Thrones, they just
that makes sense
into it. So it's mainly NBA talk. It doesn't really follow the timeline necessarily of Game of Thrones, but anything that can make it seem like it is Game of Thrones, that like resembles some Game of Thrones things, mm-hmm. they then put that in. It's based in the world of Game of Thrones, so it's a good mixture, I think, oftentimes they find between specifically NBA drama and things, and making connections to the Game of Thrones. The last season of Game of Zones just came out, and this season definitely was much more on the nose for Game of Thrones theories and storylines, but a lot of what the ending storyline is that the media is the one who drives a lot of this discussion. It's really about the media who drives the power of the history and the stories of the league. And when you consider all that, what is your actual criteria for best of all? Is there a difference between best of all time and greatest of all time? Like, it's all just stories. It's all just people talking. So it's all just opinions. There's no true answer to these questions. And I think that that's what makes the debate about between LeBron and Michael Jordan so cyclical, because each side feels like they have just enough to make their point correct. If you look at LeBron and you have the full stat numbers, you have the full efficiency, you have the overall enjoyment in watching his game. He doesn't just score for himself. He scores for his teammates. He also gets them involved and gets them the best shots possible. That's the way he plays the game. He's the guy who had the greatest comeback, the greatest story of all time in 1 year. Led his team back from a 3-1 deficit against the team that broke the regular season win record. How do you say no to that? How do you tell yourself that is the guy that is that guy isn't the best of all time, the greatest of all time, whatever you want to call it? Right. On the opposite side, he's lost six finals. He's lost He's only won what three of six.
He lost six. He's 3-6. Yeah. In finals.
Yeah, 3-6. Oh yeah, he's 3-6 in finals. How rather lackadaisical his teams can be in the play in the regular season, the lack of effort defensively sometimes in the regular season, the willingness to take his foot off the gas pedal, which is what The Last Dance really illustrates, is the opposite of Michael Jordan in many ways. His mentality was, I want to win every night. I am driven to be the greatest of all time, and because I know that I am the greatest of all time. I mean, there's just that inner drive of perfection that Michael has that I don't quite think LeBron ever had, but I also don't think that that's a bad thing. I genuinely don't think that it's a bad thing that LeBron doesn't quite, never really truly grasp that level of killer instinct. It's helped him.
Mm-hmm.
No, what you're saying?
Sorry, I was saying, like, my argument is, well, MJ, when he came to the league, he was just scored, trying to find his way, didn't have a great team, and no one expected MJ to be this great or anything. Like, they knew he was going to be a good player, but not, like, you know, winning six championships, three straight, like, what, two times, like, all that.
Yeah, and there were questions about
it. Yeah.
It was in more similar ways, his, like, entrance into the NBA was more similar to how Kobe's was, where there was a lot of hype, but there were a couple questions that people had about whether or not it could translate. But, and that's very similar many times. Yeah.
But he also, when he came to the league, he was lucky enough to, maybe not luck, but whatever, but he was basically lucky enough to have a good GM in place. And that GM was trying to, you know, make their team better in the future and see how, you know, he had a good vision and everything, and he was lucky in that aspect. And they got Scottie Pippen. Later on, they got Dennis Rodman. So I'm just trying to say is, like, he was placed in a good team, like, right away, like, in that situation. And LeBron is the system. Like, he's the player. Like, no one besides AI, like, you never seen a player take an 07 Cleveland, 07 Cleveland team with no good players at all. Like, their second best player was what, Booby Gibson? I don't know. Did Drew Nisilgauskas? Whatever.
Did they have Antoine Jameson back then?
They might have.
Was Antoine on that?
Antoine Jameson, I
think they got him the next year.
Might have been the next
year.
Either way, he was in the downward, like, you know.
That's true. He came. Yeah.
His prime was in, what, like, Washington with Gilbert and Caron Butler, but
and both Golden State, definitely.
Yeah, oh yeah, Golden State days. Too. Yeah, definitely. But so I'm trying to say is LeBron is a system, and I just feel like the load is on him. And I feel like Michael Jordan, like, he got those clutch moments and everything because his team was really good, and it just, like, I don't know. I feel like the teams that they played back in the day weren't as good as LeBron. LeBron played, like, the teams that LeBron played. If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
I kind of disagree there, because, like, you think about those teams. You think about the 2000s, mid to late 2007, like, mid to late 2000s. It was ugly, the basketball, oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Like, scores of being, like, down in the 70s and 80s. Like, think about the 05 finals, like, how bad that Pistons Spurs series was. It's just awful. Offensive one. Yeah. I think more so it is that it was a lot more difficult for you to become a good, for you to play in a team centric sense in the mid 2000s because of the lack of talent in the league. I genuinely think that there was a major issue in that, and so a lot of the teams that would do well were more so teams that had a star that was willing to take over games and succeed in those moments. Obviously, the Detroit Pistons in 04 bucked that trend in a lot of ways, but I think a lot of it was down to, can you score in the last few minutes of the game, and can you defend the hell out of the opposite and just suffocate the opposition? Can you do those aspects? Whereas Michael, he had to go up against some of the greats. He had to go up against some of the most elite teams in NBA's history. He had to play against Larry Bird. He had to play against Isaiah Thomas. He had
Bird was in the dying stages of his career, as well as Magic Johnson. The best team he played was Utah, and Utah wasn't even like crazy good. Like I wasn't born back in the day. I wouldn't know how good they were. But you're not telling me they're not better than the Golden State Warriors or the Spurs.
Magic Johnson, he had to go get so many people. He went against prime Shaquille O'Neal.
Magic Johnson was injured, and Kareem was old.
Man,
I don't even know Kareem was playing there in 91. Was he playing in 91 when MJ won his first? Was Kareem?
Yeah. No. Kareem, Kareem was retired by then. But Magic Johnson was like, he was around like the dad LeBron level. Because the thing was with Magic, he retired at age 33 with the whole thing.
HIV, AIDS.
Yeah.
So, you might say COVID.
I almost did. But considering that, like, there is truth that Michael did not get to truly face up against Magic Johnson in his prime. He faced Larry Bird in his prime, 86, and lost. But then again, runs with your point that was back at the time when Michael wasn't quite team-centric. His team wasn't quite as good yet. They were still a rather young squad. And it only came up late 80s when they started really facing up against Detroit, and the whole Jordan rules really came into effect, that his team was able to compete. And that mirrors the LeBron James timeline.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 years that he came into the league, his team just wasn't good enough to match the level of competition that he wanted to do. Whereas once he went to the finals in 07, from 08 to 2010, they had the talent. They had the quality players. They just weren't able to get over the hump. Oftentimes, they ran into the Boston Celtics. They ran into the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard and that amazing team. Let's not forget just how good that Orlando Magic team was. It was a dominant team. You had Ido Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis. I mean, they had shooters all around. Jameer Nelson was actually a quality player back then.
Yeah.
They had scores that were well ahead of their time, and LeBron did have to go through those guys. Obviously, there's him giving up in 2010.
I blame it on him. Like, I feel like everyone knows that's LeBron's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's down
that's
to that.
That's understandable.
What I brought up before about how that was a time when LeBron didn't really have that killer instinct. That's just not something that comes naturally to him. He's a player that wants to – when he's driving to the hoop and he's got three men on him, he wants to kick it out. That's his mentality. That's the way that he learned the game as a point guard. Magic Johnson was a very similar way. That's why they always would say the better comparison never was Magic – LeBron to Michael. It was always LeBron to Magic. He is what Magic should, like, everything that Magic was, LeBron is essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he never developed that killer instinct, because I don't think he ever had to, because he's always like, yeah, he's like the one of the five tool man. Like, I say this about KD, but LeBron is definitely one of the first five tool mans in the NBA. Like, he can defend, like, he used to be able to defend really well. He can shoot, but I mean, he's, you know, streaky here and there. But like,
well, but
overall, he can
shoot. He ain't
shoot.
Win the Defensive Player of the Year award. Magic, Michael did.
He did win, but I feel like LeBron could have won a Defensive Player of the Year back in his Miami days. But I don't think they really like looked into it as much.
I think that he also had the issues of there being some amazing defensive centers in the league
back in the day.
Like, you think about Dwight Howard winning it four times in a row. You think about Ben Wallace winning it four times in a row. Ron Artest was there. You had so many players. It's like soccer has the same thing now. Who is the greatest of all time? Is it Pele? Is it Maradona? Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldo? Who is it? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's all just opinion. It's all just opinion. People playing in different times and different generations and different ways of this game. Game develops. Game gets better.
By the way, some of my audio cut. Like, it's like a 30-minute limit, and I didn't realize that. So we passed the 30-minute limit, so some of the parts didn't come up, like,
oh, shit.
Second part. But anyway, I just want to recap what we talked about. All right, guys, we just talked about basically the GOAT discussion continued. So we talked about the generational differences between NBA now and back then, and Kenny was talking about Karl Malone winning an MVP at 35 years old, and you wouldn't see that now unless you're LeBron.
With hair plugs.
With hair plugs, yeah. But sorry about that. But, you know, we continue the discussion. But, yeah, so, man, I don't know. What else, like, NBA, what else, man? When is the NBA coming back? When is it coming back?
Well, that's the question on everyone's mind. It's a difficult question to answer, though, because the one problem that you have is whether or not to include the non-playoff teams. That's easy to say. We can just start up, not include the just start the playoffs up right now. But the problem is that the people, the arena, the local networks, the TV networks of those teams that are not going to be making the playoffs, they want their games. They want their ad revenue. There's a lot of contract business, back end business, like contract negotiations that have to go on to fix a lot of the crap that has to be figured out if you want to start the playoffs now or start playing it all now. Right at this moment, from what I've read and listened to on other podcasts, most of the discussion is late July return in Orlando in Disney World, where you have a lot of hotels, where you have the ability to house families and all kinds of personnel. To be able to hold and broadcast the games that you need to, playing it off more as like a summer league, where you start in the afternoon and just play games one by one by one, like you're at Lifetime Fitness and you got the guy and you're lining up your next five. All right, you got five. All right, you're five.
I got next. Good.
On it. Yeah, who got next? Running like that, so it would be great. It'd be even better if we can have the teams that are waiting in the stands. Like right up on the court while the other team's on the side, like have it really old, like have it really gym style. But obviously, that would not be cool health wise.
That's a good segue to my next question. So, what do you think about the NBA arenas faking like the audience, like sound and screaming, or do you want it just to be like no audience and just let them play so you can hear what the players say while they play and everything and the coaches?
Definitely the latter. Okay, no, I don't want no noise. Same. I want this exactly like the practice sessions talk about the dream team, where it's skins versus shirts, and it's just hardcore. Now,
I want to hear
I do like what the German Bundesliga's German soccer league, the Bundesliga, is doing, where some of the teams are setting up like cardboard cutouts in the stands of people, so just fake people out there. Like, I like that aspect. Do that. Can do that, have a little bit of fun with it, but don't actually have any noise. I want to hear the drip, the sweat dripping from Draymond Green's hanging mat, like bottom lip. I want to hear every single sound.
Sus. I'm just kidding, but yeah. I feel you. I just want to hear like the trash talk. I want the essence. I want the real. I want, like, you know, I just want them to see what they actually say, what kind of plays they devise, what the coaches say. I hope they don't block any of. I want to hear the swear words. I want to hear the F bombs. I want to hear all of that. You know what I mean?
Nah, ESPN's a family channel, man. They're on the Disney. They're on that Mickey Mouse money. They got to censor everything.
That's true. They have that good deal with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN, $13 a month.
Now, TNT. The TNT might allow for some dams or some shit.
Oh yeah, shit, dams, yeah.
Yeah, they might allow some things, but nah, I agree with you. I want it to be uncensored. I would like it to be uncensored. No crowd volumes. I hate all that crap. We actually talked about this one time in at Harvard broadcast. Like, our director and a couple of us were talking about how the New York Knicks ran that game where they didn't use any music or any like pump up anthems. They just ran. They just let the game go on. Didn't pump any volume into the arena. And we all love, and many of us diehard guys love that, but a lot of the older heads within the at Harvard that were mostly thinking about the production side of it and like how people at home were watching it, how our kids act like enjoying this, they feared that that was just a boring aspect, that it really was only for the diehards of the sport that would enjoy that level of immersion into the game.
Right.
And I think I can see that, because a lot of basketball event, like, it's, there's a lot of things that go on the side and in the music and everything that's very clear. They're trying to provide a family-friendly environment.
Yeah.
They really want to promote that. NBA really, 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 really wants to promote that aspect of the game of their side of the league. And to that regard, I understand it. But I think right now, it's pretty clear the diehards want the game back. So I don't think pumping volume into the game would make any sense.
You know what I miss? I miss playing pickleball. Like, going to the gym and just playing. This because that's my cardio, because I don't like running or anything. I know you're a runner.
Nah, similar way, because like nowadays I'm too lazy nowadays to run. What I usually like to do is go play pickup soccer, because that's really my way of getting some cardio in, just running around like a madman chasing the ball like I'm a golden retriever. I miss that. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Right. It's tough staying healthy in quarantine without the gym.
I got power blocks in my house, and that's, I'm doing like weights, lifting, but in terms of cardio, I know I'm destroyed. I know my legs are shot. Like, it's going to be bad when I try and start running again or start playing soccer again. That ain't going to happen for a while.
I bought like a heavy bag. Like a boxing heavy bag.
What the heck's a heavy bag?
Like a, you know, a punching bag.
Oh, okay. Punching bag. Okay.
Yeah. It's good cardio.
All right. Who you think? All right. So you're going to be appearing in Creed 3?
Yeah. I'm Amir Khan 2.0. I'm gonna be fighting Floyd Mayweather. First, Indian. Is Amir Khan Indian? Is he like part Indian or something? He's Punjabi, right? He's Punjabi.
I don't know, dude. I know he's Muslim, but
I know he's Punjabi. I think, yeah, Muslim, he's a... so.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Well, I just want to say, it's a good podcast, and can you believe it's already been like 40 plus minutes of us just talking shit?
Straight talking shit, exactly.
But
nah, it was good. It was good fun, man. It was good fun.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being here, by the way.
No problem. Definitely invite me on anytime you want to talk shit and get taught about how a bunch of a bitch KD is.
Dang. Should talk about KD more, but we'll talk about him maybe next episode or like a couple episodes down the line.
He comes back to the
What's
Definitely,
up?
Man. But until he comes back to the league and until he's healthy, we ain't talking.
Right. He's going to win 3 championships with Brooklyn, and we're going to say he's the GOAT.
Okay. I think we're done here. I don't need to list fake news.
Fake news. It's about to be real news in a couple of years. But anyway, thanks for being here, and come again any other time you want. But, yo, just stay online. I'm just going to end the podcast. Stay online.